Divided Kingdom, the evening news program you listeners have come to know and trust since 2003. Mr. and Mrs. America from Flyover Country, Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, are your hosts. This program can be heard on WWCR.com, Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and WWCR Shortwave. It can be heard on KstarTalkRadio.com. You can check these websites for times. We have no time tonight to spare, for we must bring you all the emergency news, pre-election and otherwise. Please begin to pray and prepare spiritually and physically for any worst-case scenario, even if unlikely. Have canned meats, beans, peas, salmon, nut butters, and more for many months of possible duress. On Thursday, October 8th, we had a very important program, possibly the most important program we ever did. You can go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, visit the archives for October 8th if you missed it. There was a station malfunction, and so you did not hear 14 minutes of the beginning of our program, part two of Eisenhower's Warning. We first planned to repeat that program tonight.
But in the meantime, God revealed to us just how grave the threat of evil is to all of us at these times. He also revealed we need to emphasize the necessity of deep prayer, as well as bring you the news, the newest startling catalog of threats to life and liberty. Tonight is part three of Ike's Warning. Remember how he told Republicans at the Bedford Springs Hotel in Bedford, Pennsylvania, in 1962, that they were fighting for their lives but didn't know it. He said, when they knew it, they would be up to it. Well, we now know it, Ike, and we know we can't win without America's deep repentance and prayerful intercession to God for help. God dramatically showed Elizabeth Ezekiel, chapter 33, the watchman's summons, to show her, first, we should not repeat the October 8th program, and second, we needed to each present an opening warning and then lead you in prayer. My part of the warning is a follow-up article Elizabeth wrote after her contract tracing article, now posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com.
They're both posted, Lou, aren't they?
That's right, they both are. Before I read it, I draw your attention to some important background information that I presented on October 8th that got cut off when the station malfunctioned. Indoor ventilation systems increase the risk of coronavirus infections.
And these are headlines from Natural News. Was the date October 5th?
I believe that this one was the 7th, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, many indoor ventilation systems increase the risk of coronavirus infections. This is from a new research study at the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom. Quote, widely used mixing ventilation systems that help keep conditions uniform in all parts of a room also disperse airborne contaminants, including droplets containing viral particles, evenly throughout the space, unquote. The study highlights the importance of good ventilation and mask wearing in mitigating the risk. And now,
and I'm going to interject that we are concerned again. We heard Tucker Carlson on Fox Network again bringing on Alex Berenson. And again, in our minds, we're a little bit disturbed because there is an element of equating the masks with tyranny. And we know that guns are often equated with tyranny from the left. They want to take away the guns, but the guns aren't the killers. The killers are the people. And so the idea of this that was brought out on Fox was that the masks really do not help, that they have discovered that these tiny, tiny particles go through the masks. But the point that you're bringing out, Lou, and I'm bringing out, is that we had other research that shows there are large spit particles, and the coronavirus is attached to these, so absolutely the masks could help to prevent some of the bigger particles from going through. There would be less volume of the virus going through. So we still ask you to be careful. And I was pleased to see that watching Trump at the Johnstown, Pennsylvania rally, those people, and they're my people, I came from that area, they almost all had masks on because they are part of that indefatigable call from the Allegheny Mountains. This is the light of freedom that I wrote about in my book. This is the light of freedom. They've had to triumph for two or three centuries up there in that barren wilderness and in the cold, cold, bitter days that we never have in the South here in Maryland. They are sturdy. They are from pioneer stock, and they have common sense. So pick up this story now. What about this ventilation, this mixed ventilation?
Well, now we're going to move on to your article.
Yes, we are going to move on. And now you'll see, listeners, just I want you to just reinforce that the mixed ventilation appears to what?
It appears to spread that virus all over the interior area of whether it would be a home, a restaurant, or whatever it might be.
Right.
All right, here's that article now. Questions remain about 34 COVID-positive White House staffers and other contacts, despite Rose Garden's ceremony alibi. And this was dated October 8th by Elizabeth. Here at the Divided Kingdom, we questioned whether something nefarious had resulted in the COVID-19 sudden pre-election spread to a formerly invincible Trump, something that needed contract, not contact tracing. In the meantime, the mainstream media seized upon the Saturday, September 26th, Rose Garden Barrett announcement ceremony as the cause of this new sudden COVID flare-up. Senator Mike Lee hugged people there and now is positive for COVID. It is certainly of concern that attendees of the Rose Garden ceremony were almost universally maskless. Video clips show the audience seated close together with no structured social distancing. USA Today, October 7th, has published a picture with circles around those who became infected. This clearly indicates clusters, two or three near each other. In all probability, this Rose Garden nonchalant lack of preparation has resulted in some of its attendees now being ill. Yet, is that the whole answer? Was there still another way COVID entered the air and rooms of the White House? Was there a perhaps sinister planting? Note the persons who did not attend the Rose Garden ceremony yet tested positive. Nick Luner, Director of Oval Office Operations. Ronna McDaniel, Republican Party Chairwoman. Bill Stepien, Trump Campaign Manager. Ron Johnson, United States Senator. New York Magazine, October 7th, reports, quote, "In a sign that the coronavirus spread in the White House has not been limited to President Trump's close contacts, two members of the building's housekeeping staff, who hadn't come into contact with him, tested positive," unquote. What about the air conditioning systems in Air Force One, the Oval Office, and the entire White House? A new study from the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom states, quote, "Widely used mixing ventilation systems that help keep conditions uniform in all parts of a room also disperse airborne contaminants, including droplets containing viral particles, evenly throughout the space," unquote. University of Massachusetts professor Aaron Bromage studied COVID spread due to the air conditioning in a restaurant that resulted in subsequent infections and deaths. This in the New York Magazine October 7th report gives us cause to ask, did the ventilation system play a role, whether by accident or by sinister seeding, in this new alarming COVID spread?
And then, Lou, the essay that I have next, I guess it's our sort of our opening new monologue for the evening. I didn't really want to write this. I woke up on the morning of October 13th, and I was tired. And I was a little bit, not depressed, but a little bit unnerved with everything that's going on and all the work it takes for us to prepare this program, the worry about our country, all of this. And it was as though I wanted a day off. But the Lord started putting this in my mind. And I thought, oh, my goodness, do I really have to do this? And I said to the Lord, well, you know, if it's my duty, you could show me Ezekiel 33. And I opened the Bible, and there it was. This has only happened two other times. One time, long ago, when Lou and I had visited at my family's home in late 1991 at Thanksgiving, and the family had done something upsetting, and I was sort of upset about it. And Lou said, you know, your family needs you. And then everybody was going to go to church. And also, I wanted my father to sort of comfort me about all this. And he was sort of too busy. He said he had to be ready for his Sunday school class. So I was a little bit miffed. So they all left, and I was sitting there in my pajamas and my robe. And Lou said, well, I think maybe you should go to honor your father. And I said, well, if God really wants me to go, he can show me God's house in the Bible. And Lou, you recall this very well, don't you?
Oh, yes.
You went to the Bible, and you opened it, and you were looking at the words, God's house. And, you know, I would not be that brazen today, certainly not. But at that time, I said, well, you know, if he really wants me to go, he could show it again. Lou opened the Bible, and there it was again. And there was a third time. And at the end of that, Lou says, I think you'd better get your clothes on quickly. And when we got to the church, they were singing the closing hymn. And I had a special needs cousin, and she turned around, and her eyes lit up. She saw that Elizabeth and Lou were coming, and then I saw that old couple at the front, my father and mother, Charles and Margaret, and Charles had his arm around Margaret. And you see, I just got there in the nick of time. That would be the last month that I would see my father, except for a Christmas visit, before he was taken to heaven. God knew that. He didn't want me to be living with guilt that I had not gone to honor my father. The last time was that something like this happened was Lou and I were struggling terribly about 5 years ago, and we had two nights on WWCR, but we were getting no help, absolutely no help from any listeners, and we were very tired. And I sort of said to the Lord, because another listener had written, he said, I think you should give up Wednesday. He said, you just can't afford it, and no people are really listening on Wednesday. They have prayer nights. And I said to the Lord, well, you know, you could show me that passage about shaking the dust off your feet and moving on if you really want us to quit that night. I opened the Bible, and there it was, listeners. So, you know, I'm taking this seriously. God is guiding us in a time that's more grave than we've ever had in any of our lives. So when he showed me this, I knew I had to pray and write it. And here it is. Prayers for divine protection needed for president, October 3rd, 2020. The Illuminati has a kind of twisted code of honor that it must telegraph its nefarious future plans for humanity ahead of the crisis to come. The warning message comes sometimes unobtrusively in celebrity circles or in the wider culture at large. Before the horrific 9/11 assault on America, the movie Lone Gunman, with planes hitting the towers, was itself a trailer for the New York City horror movie to come. Is President Trump in danger again? Are all the millions of prayers of American Christians once again gravely needed to continue until and beyond the election? Note my two current articles about contact versus contract tracing. In addition, we learn that Pentagon military heads are restive, contradicting Trump's avowed statement to bring the American boys and girls home from Afghanistan this coming spring. 57 years ago, President Kennedy's plans to print U.S. money apart from the Federal Reserve and end early Vietnam involvement were thwarted by assassination. On August 18, 2020, Mike Adams at naturalnews.com had this breaking news. Live guided air-to-air missile discovered at Florida Airport near Tampa. Markings indicate Matra R530F radar guided missile that could bring down Air Force One. AmericanMilitaryNews.com carried the details of the radar guided missile that was discovered at the Lakeland Linder Airport, citing Bay News 9 and ABC Action News. American Military News stated an explosive ordnance disposal, EOD team, from MacDill Air Force Base came to help safely remove the missile Friday. August 22, 2020, Adams followed up with further details of the Matra R350F being acquired from Jordan's. And I see there is a difference. That first article said R530. The second one says R350. I think that's an error in the number that we had not noticed before. But at any rate, the details of this Matra being acquired from Jordan's military, no doubt illegally, and shipped to the U.S. via Amazon Air, which, like the CIA-friendly Washington Post, is owned by Jeff Bezos. The article went on to delineate the importance of nearby Draken International, a private corporation that offers, quote, contact air support, end of quote, services, including air-to-air missions, fleet missile defense, and other services. Adams reveals that, shockingly, Draken operates a fleet of over 80 ex-military fighter jets, including the Mirage jet that is capable of carrying the Matra R-350F missile. Draken's own website proclaims it owns and operates, quote, the world's largest commercial fleet of tactical ex-military aircraft, end of quote. The article mentions Draken's new CEO, Joe Ford, who previously worked for DynCorp, a corporation's Adams says was, quote, steeped in criminal activities and child trafficking, end of quote. Draken's strategic partner, BAE Systems, a weapons systems contractor, pleaded guilty in 2010 to, quote, conspiring to defraud the United States of America, end of quote, and paid a $400 million criminal fine, announced by the Department of Justice March 1, 2010. Millions of prayers in the U.S. and all over the world have no doubt played a strong role, along with cutting-edge medicines, in President Donald J. Trump's miraculous rapid COVID-19 recovery. And I'm going to interject here within my own essay that in the program malfunction of October 8th, we also did not get to hear me say that Lou and I rejoice and give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ for that miraculous recovery of our president. Back to my monologue or article. Is it once again imperative for God's people to pray on behalf of the continued safety of our president, not stopping either on November 4th, 2020 or January 20th, 2021? The 2020 Hope and Peace White House Historical Association holiday catalog has just come off the press. The catalog does not show Trump or even First Lady Melania on its cover. No, pictured inside a gold frame rests a pensive-looking John F. Kennedy. On the frame's bottom is the signature Christmas 2020. But is the esoteric meaning really November 22, 1963? Again, inside the front cover, instead of a smiling Donald and Melania posing beside a White House Christmas tree, we see JFK and Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. Why have a time capsule as if the present first couple does not exist? On page 12, and that again is in the White House Historical Association holiday catalog, one can order a, quote, cracked stone resin bust of JFK. Is this wording symbolic? Cracked stone might indicate injury, brokenness, or even a reminder of JFK's bloody death. Are the omissions of Donald and Melania Trump more than a strange snub or accidental oversight? Do they signify sinister thousand points of light Illuminati prediction warnings? If so, millions of us need to go to Jesus Christ, our Savior, with intercessory prayer for God to thwart the evil one's plans. All power forever rests with our Heavenly Father. Through the worst and the best, He knows His sheep, will hear their repentant cries, and will guard their eternal souls. And Lou, take us now to prayer.
Let's all pray together. Almighty God, we come to You, humbly repenting of our manifold sins, both of commission and omission. And we thank You for giving us Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each of us, forgiving our sins and giving us eternal life. We plead for you to put your warrior angels once more around the life of President Trump and the First Lady, also protecting all his administration staff members. We thank you for helping him bring more jobs to Hispanic and African Americans, for lowering oppressive taxes, for standing up with policies against abortion, for taking us out of the TPP and the Paris Climate Treaty. We plead with you on behalf of the Christian men, women, and children who deeply love you and your son. For them, we humbly ask that you will slow or stop your judgment on America, whose sins are filling the cup rapidly. We pray for your mercy to give us all more time to repent, and for sleeping churches to come alive to take a stand for your righteousness. Your perfect will be done, we pray, Heavenly Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you so much, Lou. And listeners, never underestimate your prayers. I gave a personal witness how God was real. He was there at each of those three moments when I turned to him. I tested him, and he answered me with great mercy and love. I would not want to test him again the way I did, but it shows you that he was there. He's real. He's not a dead Buddha. He's not some other kind of dead Hindu god. He is our living Savior who loves us. So long ago, I warned those western Pennsylvanians at Bedford, only an hour down the Allegheny Mountains from that latest Trump rally at Johnstown. He told those Republicans they were fighting for their lives. They didn't know it yet, but when the time came, they would be up to it. The time is now. Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, are doing everything we can, working beyond our capacity to hold on to American freedom. Some of you listeners are too, and we deeply appreciate your love, prayers, and sacrificial help to us. First in our breaking news is the shocking treason within our own government, the deep state, and the deep church worldwide, and the various men, agencies, and terrorists worldwide beginning to tip their real, hidden, ugly agenda to end nationalism and your individual constitutional rights. We go all over the map here tonight, including perhaps one focus on even the key unsettling development, DARPA's biochip. And Lou, you're going to start this off all over the map.
That's right. We are going all over the map. And we start off with a headline, This Week in Leftist Intimidation and Violence, Volume 7, from Natural News, written by the news editors, Monday, October 12th. This week saw violence break out in another Wisconsin city after a district attorney declined to charge a police officer for the killing of a black teenager, and stores and homes were attacked. Los Angeles continues to be engulfed in violence and Antifa protests, attacking empty storefronts as well as conservative demonstrators. While the vast majority of protesters arrested in Portland are seeing the charges against them dropped, despite months of rioting. And the remaining part of this article comes from freebeacon.com, freebeacon.com. Protests have become a lifestyle for some L.A. activists. A quote from the Los Angeles Times, this has become like church for me, unquote. A group of protesters in Los Angeles have made attending protests part of their weekly routines. One protester said, quote, I think it's part of becoming, it's becoming part of a lifestyle for many people who have lost employment or who are working the gig economy. Seattle. Antifa and BLM protesters break into Starbucks, launch fireworks. Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesters in Seattle smashed windows at a Starbucks and launched fireworks inside. Police declared a riot and ordered them to disperse. 90% of rioters arrested in Portland in the last month have had charges dropped. In September, Portland police arrested 213 protesters for causing violence in the city. Nearly 9 out of 10 of those arrested had the charges dropped. Portland Antifa attacked conservative protester carrying American flag. And if a militant in Portland tried to steal an American flag being carried by a conservative protester, she refused to let go and was forced to the ground. Los Angeles protesters smashed storefronts, set fire to Old Glory. And if a protester burned an American flag and broke into empty storefronts in L.A. during a riot. And I didn't realize until now that these were counting down. This is number one in this list. Rioters smashed windows of homes and storefronts in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Riots broke out across Wauwatosa after a district attorney said that a police officer who shot and killed a 17-year-old black teenager acted in self-defense. After a day of protesting, Black Lives Matter demonstrators smashed the windows of storefronts and houses, as captured by Town Hall reporter Julio Rosas. Elizabeth?
Yes, and we're looking tonight at all these elements, the deep state, the deep church, and last time I talked about Pope Francis endorsing the coronavirus vaccines for all. This was an article at Natural News, August 25th, by Ethan Huff. And in a recent afternoon address, the upshot was that Pope Francis suggested that whatever vaccines are released for COVID should be, quote, universal and for all, not restricted to just certain countries, regions, or people groups. And so the article said, completely ignoring the fact that the COVID-19 vaccines are being made with aborted human fetal tissue and other ingredients that Catholics would not normally support, Pope Francis framed his argument in terms of the jabs being necessary to cure the pandemic. And then we had other Catholic leaders, such as Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano and U.S. Bishop Joseph Strickland. They condemned using this COVID-19 set of vaccines for this reason, because of the aborted human fetal tissue that's being used. And so Pope Francis went on to say there were two viruses, the coronavirus and social injustice. And there was more emphasis, seemingly, put by him on this idea of the social injustice. The, quote, big virus, he contends, is, quote, social injustice, which includes unequal opportunity, marginalization, and lack of protection for the weakest members of society. And then, of course, we get that call that we've had since 9/11. I remember in my book I quoted somebody who was the chargé d'affaires to Afghanistan, and he said this was an opportunity for the world to get on board. So now Pope Francis says, today we have an opportunity to build something different, and this is the new globalist order. And I think last time I mentioned this equated to what Obama told us on the TV screens a little more than a month ago, that we had a living constitution and it was good to be changing it. And I think you have a little background again that got missed on our last program about Carlo Vigano and some of this deep, deep church element, Lou.
I do, yes. This was from Natural News, a headline on October 7th. The headline said, ruled by Satan. Archbishop warns of collusion between deep state and deep church to overthrow Trump and bring in the new world order. And this, again, is talking about Carlo Maria Vigano, former Vatican ambassador to the United States. And he, in an open letter to LifeSite News, said the deep church is using the Catholic Church as a whole to advance neoliberal authoritarianism, pointing out some prominent Catholic bishops in the U.S. endorsing Joe Biden, quote, wonking indecorously with Biden and BLM following the narration imposed by the mainstream. One example, Cardinal Joseph Tobin, Archbishop of Newark. Vigano is known for calling attention to church injustices. And now, Sean.
And that's so important that you brought that out. So we're looking at various elements here. Now, we go to the MSM. All of you know they cannot be trusted, but here's an important article. Treason. New York Times calls for UN takeover of America. This is Natural News, October 13th, Ethan Huff. Peter Baynard, editor-at-large of Jewish Currents, recently penned an op-ed for the New York Times calling on the United Nations to stage an, quote, international intervention in order to stop Donald Trump from winning the November 3rd election. Echoing the sentiment expressed by George Soros operative Zach Ford, a queer atheist social justice warrior, SJW, who wants to, quote, fix America through a foreign invasion, Bainard believes that the only way to ensure the United States loses its sovereignty and is absorbed into the New World Order is to have the UN basically take over our country. Quote, no one knows how Donald Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis will affect his presidential campaign, but before falling ill, he repeatedly suggested that he won't accept the results of the election should he lose, Bainard falsely wrote. In order to ensure that they win the Electoral College this time around, Democrats, quote, must now win the popular vote by 3, 4, or even 5 percentage points, Bainard contends. They must achieve that margin in the face of a strenuous Republican effort to ensure that many Democratic ballots are not counted. Citing election monitoring expert Judith Kelly, dean of the Sanford School of Public Policy at Duke University, Bainard says President Trump's behavior so far this year is enough to prompt international election observers to, quote, go to countries and write up huge reports about it and say, red flag, red flag. Bainard's proposed election interference is what Democrats falsely accused Trump of doing with Russia. Amazingly, Bainard openly proposes having international powers seize control of the U.S. through force, if necessary. This is exactly what Democrats have been falsely accusing the Trump campaign of doing with Russia, by the way. He also supports efforts by Democrat operatives like John Podesta to steal the election for Joe Biden by urging blue state governors to overturn the results if they end up in favor of Trump. Failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has likewise told Biden directly not to concede the election to Trump under any circumstances. Quote, Americans are not so inherently virtuous that they can safely disregard the moral discipline that international oversight provides, Bainard goes on to write, suggesting that outside influence thwarting the election results would be a good thing for American virtues. Now that Mr. Biden and other white Democrats are tasting disenfranchisement themselves, they need to learn that lesson too, Bainard further contends. Pope Francis, by the way, has called for similar U.S. absorption into the U.N., which is necessary in order to bring to fruition his New World Order agenda. For good measure, the U.N. also recently appointed Communist China to help lead a human rights panel on free speech, which tells us everything we need to know about this corrupt globalist body. In conclusion, Bainard made sure to also play the race card in suggesting that America required such interventions in the past to end, quote, American slavery. These interventions, he claims, ultimately led to the adoption of the 15th Amendment, which calls for the, quote, elimination of civil, political, and judicial distinctions based on race or color in all nations. According to Shane Trejo, writing for Big League Politics, these openly treasonous calls for a U.S. takeover suggest that Democrats are less of a political party these days and more like an ISIS-style terror operation that will lay America to waste if they can't control the country. U.N. troops would be fantastic targets of opportunity, joked one Big League Politics commenter. Bring them in. We'll get younger men used to killing. So, Lou, we can see that the deep church, the deep state, we can call it the New World Order, we're getting some of them tipping their hands. And so this deep church can be ruled by Satan. And I think now we must move on to number 3.
All right. This is entitled, The Left is Working to Destroy Your Right to Defend Yourself Against the Mob. This is from gunfreezone.net, Monday, October the 5th. A motorist was attacked in his car by a mob blocking a road in Louisville. One of the members of the mob, a convicted felon, pulled a gun on the driver, and the driver drew a gun on the mob. After a protester was arrested Friday for pointing a gun at a motorist during a march in East Louisville, some of the crowd want to know why the driver wasn't taken into custody as well. Both the protester and the motorist pointed guns, according to Kentucky Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression co-chair Tyra Walker, who witnessed the encounter after a protest at Attorney General Daniel Cameron's office. Louisville Metro Police spokesman Lamont Washington said in an emailed statement that the driver was not arrested, quote, because he was not, or he was the victim in the incident, unquote, and no charges against him are expected. Robin Ash, 34, was arrested without incident, according to LMPD's Facebook post. Metro Corrections records show she faces felony charges of wanton endangerment, criminal mischief, and possession of a handgun by a convicted felon. The incident took place Friday afternoon as demonstrators walked down Hurstbourne Parkway near Shelbyville Road. A silent aerial video released on the LMPD's Facebook page Saturday shows a car stopped in the street by the protesters and several people walk up to the vehicle. After several seconds, a woman runs toward the car and points what appears to be a handgun three times at the vehicle. Members of the crowd usher her away, and several seconds later, she appears to hand the object to someone else walking on the street. Another person in the crowd is seen kicking the rear of the car as others try to create distance between the driver and the people in the street. Ash claims that she acted in self-defense against the driver, who was the aggressor, despite video evidence to the contrary. The police posted video to Facebook. A protester captured video, which was posted online. They claim he was trying to run protesters over, but it seems like he swerved around one who was in the turning lane. If he was trying to hit protesters, he did a bad job of it. They block the road, they attack his car, they threaten him with a gun. Now they want to ruin his life because he defended himself and didn't let the mob beat him up. The mob wants you at its mercy, afraid and unable to stop them. By the way, this man was fired by his employer for this, and the Lincoln Project is taking part in the attempt to cancel this man's, I think we have something missing
must,
here.
Must be incomplete.
Yes. This is why DeSantis' legislative push is so important, and I hope Trump does the same for interstates under Department of Transportation jurisdiction. The people who block roads and threaten drivers with guns don't get to claim victim status from those people who choose to defend themselves. Again, that was from gunfreezone.net.
And it's sort of the redux of Mark and Patricia McCloskey in St. Louis,
yes,
who are indicted for being at a picnic in their own yard, surrounded by thugs who threatened to kill their dog, kill them, burn down their house. We're at a very grave situation time here in this country. And again, we ask you to pray, pray for our program, pray for it to get out to others, and we do plead with you to tell other people, pray about sharing the ideas. And the newest essay about protecting the president is now posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell others to go to our archives and listen, DividedKingdomRadio.com. George Soros is behind so many things. Here's a report. This is from National File. And this date was September 23rd, 2020. Soros-linked bail project employee rented U-Haul that handed out shields to potential rioters. Holly Zoller, a bail disruptor for the Soros-linked bail project, rented and drove the truck that handed out shields to potential rioters in Louisville. National File reported earlier today that a U-Haul truck was used to distribute equipment, including shields, to potential rioters in Louisville who are protesting the grand jury decision in the Breonna Taylor case. And we would interject there, Lou, that we heard that one man was indicted on reckless endangerment, but after that, everywhere that we heard on radio and other MSM, they lied. They said that no one was indicted. Isn't that right?
Yes, they totally distorted the truth of that case.
So, you know, if you value this news coming to you commercial-free and you would like to help us stay on the air, we will need some help, and we are very thankful to one or two people who have given to us and helped us. If you have a little cash or you have a money order, you don't even need to fill out your name on the money order. You can send a check, but it must be made out directly to WWCR. We cannot take personal checks. You can send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, the Bethlehem, Maryland. The zip is 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28. Now, back to this article about Holly Zoller, the bail disruptor. IntelWave, a Twitter account that has been gathering information on protests, riots, and chaos, along with the group Third World Fight Club, were able to track down the identity of the driver, Holly Zoller. Zoller is a bail disruptor for the Bail Project, an organization that opposes cash bail and claims that paying bail for those in jail is an act of resistance against a system that criminalizes race and poverty. According to her bio on the Bail Project site, Zoller is the founder of Louisville Books to Prisoners, a nonprofit organization aimed at putting books into the hands of people living behind bars. More crucially, it says that Zoller has, quote, organized around anti-fascist movement and has worked as a, quote, professional organizer. The Bail Project also has ties to George Soros, the founder of the Open Society Foundation. At least two employees of the Bail Project are or were Soros Justice Fellows. And we point out again that prosecutor out there in St. Louis and the mayor, Jenny Durkin, those people have relationships with some of this Soros money. A lot of these district attorneys are bought and paid for. I think maybe the person in Philadelphia there is. There's influence going on. So there's a reason. Again, this treasonous takeover of our country, we're allowing people like this to do things. According to the Open Society Foundation's website, back to the article, the Soros Justice Fellowships fund outstanding individuals to undertake projects that advance reform, spur debate, and catalyze change on a range of issues facing the U.S. criminal justice system. Catalyze change, that's a euphemism for all of this takedown of America. And the Bail Project also boasts a number of celebrities on its board of advisors, including entrepreneur and founder of Virgin, Richard Branson, lawyer and legal commentator David Feige, actor Danny Glover, and musician John Legend. Let's move right on, Lou. More treason, more treachery.
Yes, and we have some more of these co-financiers, in addition to George Soros, from National File. Bail Project tied to Antifa, U-Haul, received millions from Bill Gates, UMG, Jack Dorsey, among others. National File can reveal in further detail those behind the funding of the Bail Project, which include Bill Gates, Universal Music Group, and others. The Bail Project has come under fire after it was revealed that their employee, Holly Zoller, was the renter and driver of a U-Haul that provided shields and other supplies to Antifa rioters before the chaos in Louisville yesterday, and this was dated September 24th. As National File reported, a group of concerned citizens tracked Zoller down. One member of the anonymous group called Zoller, posing as a U-Haul employee, noting that the company had seen hundreds of Twitter posts about the U-Haul truck being used to protest illegally. Zoller said, quote, "We handed out supplies, that's it, including umbrellas, water, masks, goggles, gloves," unquote. The caller says that they saw signs of, quote, "abolish the police," unquote, to which Zoller said that was her First Amendment right. "What does it matter what I posted on the sign?" she added. Zoller then denied that she protested, but when was caught admitting that she drove the U-Haul truck and dropped items off. I guess that's a little poorly worded there. The important part is she denied that she was at the protest, I believe, but then was caught admitting that she drove the U-Haul truck and dropped items off. After saying this, Zoller goes quiet. When she returns to the call, she says the caller should talk to her lawyer and that she would not be answering any more questions.
Yes, and I think we'll cut that off.
All right.
We can see these liars, they don't want to ever tell the truth.
Yeah.
And we've known for some years the role of, now we're getting into the deep state, the NWO. We've had organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL, and they've been building this false profile in preparation for tyranny, demonizing white Christian right-wing patriots as terrorists. But inside, treachery is getting more brazen. It's kind of leaking out. How about this headline? Homeland Security gives millions to groups claiming to fight against right-wing extremism. Naturalnews.com, October 13th, J.D. Hayes. To hear Democrats and their propagandists in the mainstream media tell it, the most pressing domestic security threat our country faces comes from right-wing extremist groups, Nazis, skinheads, KKK members, and one of the newest, the Boogaloo Boys, number in the tens of millions, are all white males and are just itching to unleash on America. These same Democrats and media propagandists similarly tell us to ignore what our eyes see and our ears hear. Left-wing anarchists with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who are actually rioting, looting, and burning down portions of our great cities while calling for revolution and socialism. The projection is pathetically dishonest, but it just got a boost from, of all places, the Department of Homeland Security. The Wall Street Journal reports, the Department of Homeland Security, through a little-known program, and we insert Black Op, intends to distribute millions of dollars to groups focused largely on combating white supremacists and other far-right extremists, even as President Trump has sought to play down their threat. Homeland Security's new Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Program announced $10 million in grants in recent weeks to several organizations dedicated to stopping white supremacist and far-right violence and identifying extremists of all kinds. Now, I have to interject. In recent weeks, I guess the critical race theory business has been found out, and it's going to disappear. Trump wants rid of it, so they have to put something in to take its place. Back to the article, the new effort is modeled on an Obama administration program. Are we surprised? I'm interjecting, that focused primarily on identifying and countering Islamic terrorism, the paper said. But that program was ripped as being too broad and not very effective. The right-wing extremist myth has also gotten a boost from acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf. That's so disappointing to me, Lou.
Yes, it is to me, too.
And FBI Director Christopher Wray, both of whom, like the Democrat left, want Americans to ignore what they're watching Antifa and BLM anarchists do to our cities. Now, are there Americans who identify as KKK, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists? Of course, every society has outcasts and losers like these. But are there enough of them to warrant spending millions of dollars to, quote, stop them? And from doing what, exactly? We know the left is violent and dangerous. We also know that the left is planning for post-election violence. Intelligence reports seen by this outlet indicate clearly that the left is gearing up for major disruptions following the election, and that is especially the case if President Trump wins re-election. What's more, even the Obama regime understood that Antifa was a threat. Politico reported in the fall of 2017, the FBI and DHS in documents had referred to the anarchist group as domestic terrorists. Related, origins of Antifa. Briefly, what is Antifa and why should anyone care about it? The outlet reported, federal authorities have been warning state and local officials since early 2016 that leftist extremists known as Antifa had become increasingly confrontational and dangerous, so much so that the Department of Homeland Security formally classified their activities as, quote, domestic terrorist violence, according to interviews and confidential law enforcement documents. Federal authorities believed as early as April 2016 that, quote, anarchist extremists were the primary instigators of violence at public rallies against a range of targets, those rallies mostly being associated with the president's campaign. They were blamed by authorities for attacks on the police, government, and political institutions, along with symbols of the capitalist system, racism, social injustice, and fascism, according to a confidential 2016 joint intelligence assessment by DHS and the FBI, Politico noted. Only these were fabricated constructs. Racism has been used by the left, along with the claim that Trump and his supporters are fascists, to justify otherwise unjustifiable violence. It's classic projection. The leftists are the real racists, BLM, and fascists, as their tactics demonstrate. So what has changed? Where are all of the right-wing extremist groups we're supposed to be afraid of? How come they're not burning city blocks, rioting, and looting businesses? Shouldn't they be, if they actually exist in great numbers and have it in for the United States? The deep state has been trying to undermine Trump since before he took office. This all looks and sounds like yet another fake narrative aimed at demonizing him and his supporters that, frankly, the president should shut down. And I think our time is so short again. Once more, we will not get to that DARPA biochip. But we will try to get to it the next time, because we're going to continue Ike's warnings. There's a lot more voter fraud. There's a lot of stuff. But it looks like the deep state sellout and treachery is building. And this stereotype that we've mentioned, so that one day they can hunt down the white conservative Christians, here is another fact check. FBI, DOJ is lying. Stats show black terrorists far more dangerous than white supremacists. This is, again, Natural News, October 5th. As cities are burned to the ground by diversity mobs nationwide, federal officials have assured us that the real terror threat isn't the Black Lives Matter uprising that is unleashing an orgy of destruction. The real threat, according to our vaunted intelligence community, is evil, white supremacists. And that was a little introduction, a review of another article from the October BigLeaguePolitics.com by Shane Trejo. And we won't have time to get into the sort of a simulated attack on Governor Gretchen Whitmer. That it smells to high heaven. Is this a false flag? We'll get into that next week, but in this particular article we're on right now, FBI Director Chris Wray has propagandized, again, this is BigLeaguePolitics.com, against white people for months, doing everything he can to make sure whites are demonized by the federal government. Within that racially motivated violent extremism bucket, people ascribing to some kind of white supremacist type ideology is certainly the biggest chunk of that, Ray told Democrats last week. Did you hear that, Lou? The white supremacists are the biggest chunk.
That's
and all that
me.
Stuff that you read that's still going on, why, they have got it wrong. They shouldn't have had BLM and Antifa implicated. Why, no, they're these white supremacists that they're like ghosts. I guess Halloween is coming early. Back to, we look at Antifa as more of an ideology or a movement than an organization, Ray added. Isn't that disgraceful?
Yes, it is.
That's truly disgraceful. And he says, doing public relations for the violent left-wing terrorist group. That's the commentator there. Shane Trejo is actually saying Ray is like a public relations director for Antifa and BLM. Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf has echoed similar statements while addressing the Senate as well. Quote, white supremacist extremists from a lethality standpoint over the last 2 years, particularly when you look at 2018 and 2019, are certainly the most persistent and lethal threat when we talk about domestic violent extremists, Wolf said. You know, we can use our eyes. We can see the statistics. That's an utter lie.
Well, I would certainly think so. I guess it's my lying eyes. I thought I saw all those people burning things down on the TV. Maybe I was my imagination.
This is flyover country, Lou. You're supposed to just shut your eyes and go to sleep. Like those sleeping churches, we hope and pray that God will light a little fire under them, not burn them down, but wake them up to the danger That's why we're on the air here. My heart is broken because I've watched DHS Secretary Chad Wolf on Fox various times, and I thought he was a true patriot. We need some more action and words from these people, from Ray, from Wolf. They both start with W, don't they?
Okay.
I'd hate to say weird, but I'm beginning to think it. Back to this article. However, a close examination of the facts show that these deep state hacks are lying. There, Shane Trejo says it the way it is. They're relying on propaganda from left-wing thought control groups like the Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law Center instead of using the actual data to make their determination. Now, he's giving them an out. I don't think that that's the case entire. Of course not. That would be simplistic. There is an agenda, and it's coming from the top levels of the New World Order power brokers, or we wouldn't have the information coming out there from the New York Times, from the Pope, putting us under the UN. All of this, the agenda is getting closer. I looked back and I saw an emergency letter from Gary Kaw of Hope for the World. In July, he had been very ill and had some operations. He says, the Lord is just pushing me to write a quick note because God's people need to prepare, absolutely prepare with food, with a little cash in your home. We don't have any gold anymore, maybe one little piece somewhere, because we had to sell it to keep doing our radio work. But I think God wants you to be prudent the way the Bible says. And, you know, this article there that Shane Trejo has, he then delineates the statistics of blacks committing hate crimes that is at a rate that is, quote, three times higher than whites per 100,000 Americans, according to FBI crime data in 2016 to 2017. He says the Southern Poverty Law Center's own data even shows that blacks are more than twice as likely to join a hate group. When it comes to domestic extremist terrorism, it is the same story. Blacks are once again far more likely to commit terrorist attacks than their white counterparts. According to Homeland Security data, blacks are yet again overrepresented by 19.4% when committing domestic extremist attacks. Meanwhile, whites are underrepresented yet again by 32%. Despite making up just 13% of the population, blacks accounted for over 32% of domestic extremist attacks that occurred between 2015 and 2019. Over the same period, whites only accounted for 29% of the domestic extremist attacks, even though they made up 62% of the total population. The facts are clear. Whites are statistically far less likely to commit domestic terrorism or engage in other violent racist activity than blacks. No, we have an agenda. We have a push. And one day it'll be like the Nazi stereotypes of the Jews, the hooked nose, the funny ears, whatever else, cheating people in business, whatever they can do so that they can come for us, the Christians in America, the conservatives in America, the gun owners in America. But I came from the Allegheny Mountains, the light of freedom. That's the song that we still hear. And we will stand. We will stand for freedom, justice in America, and for Christian values. Good night.